But typically we have not had boys volleyball until recently. And so this year we'll have we have two schools that are competing, and they're largely competing against schools outside of our region. So we will have a category for that. There will not be as many finalists for boys volleyball as there are for girls volleyball, just because of the number of schools that have girls volleyball as compared to boys. But that will be a new category that's introduced in the spring, so we're excited about that. And just kind of an interesting thing is the last 11 years, you know, when we first started, we didn't have girls wrestling. You know, you only had boys wrestling. Well, now we have girls wrestling.
How many years do we know? How many years it's been with girls wrestling now?
This is two or three now, yeah. Maybe with girls wrestling. You know, I think when we first started, we just had one golf category. And so we just kind of merged everybody into one category. Well, now you have a number of schools that have separate girls golf teams. And so we have a boys golf finalist category. We have a girls golf finalist category. And now this year you have a boys volleyball. So three different categories that from year one we didn't have, and now year 11 you have those. So we keep an eye out on what's changing, and then how to kind of recognize the top athletes as appropriate throughout the region. So we're excited about that. That's an interesting change this year.
Lucas Preston is here. Clay Harrell is here. Jamie Phillips is here. And we are streaming this live, Facebook Live at SEMO Ball's Facebook Live website. July 12th, it's going to be at LaCroix Church. And this is the fourth different venue now for the SEMO Ball Awards. Show Me Center, River Campus, Drive-In, and now LaCroix Church.
Yeah, I had
right?
to think about that for a second. Yeah,
the
Rock and Roll Drive-In. That's right. The 1 year COVID blip there, right? So yeah, fourth different venue that we've had it in, for various reasons over the years. But boy, we love the venue over at LaCroix Church. They have a fantastic setup. You have the theater seating, you have great lights and sound, and it really kind of gives you that experience. You know, so much of this event is video based with heavy lights, great sound. I mean, we really try to build this as SB style, as like an NFL honors. I mean, each year, as much as we're involved in this and we've been to the event, we know every year we have folks that come to this that have never experienced it. And so, you know, for those that haven't, this is really kind of the NFL honors or the ESPYs of Southeast Missouri for high school sports. And so it's top of the line lights, of sound, of video quality. I mean, it is a first class produced event. Recognizing the best of the best.
The production value is fantastic.
Yeah, it's off the charts. I mean, the team that behind it just does an amazing job. We really try to make this an experience unlike these athletes and their families have never experienced before. This is nothing against going to your school cafetorium, but this is not going to the school gym and getting a plaque. This is a first-class experience.
Did I miss the invention of that word, cafetorium? Where I'm kind of old school. We just called it our cafeteria.
The cafeteria.
Now, it's
yeah.
evolved now. Okay.
There's right. a few of them that'll call it that. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, and it's, you know, some folks really, I would say a lot of them really will dress up quite a bit. I mean, yeah, it's not a mandatory like you have to be in a black tie type thing. But I know a number of the young ladies will really dress up, wear nice dresses, young men, it varies. Some it's khakis and a polo, some are wearing suits, and it's a range. But, one thing consistently is all of them really understand, how important of an event it is and how special it is. And so, I think they know from previous years of seeing their classmates and fellow athletes be selected for this, what an honor it is. I know you mentioned during the last show of seeing some of these athletes who have gone on and they'll list on their bios, I was a SEMO Ball Awards winner or SEMO Ball Awards finalist, and how important that is in their career. We really try to live up to that and make that whole experience from the time they walk in and have that red carpet experience to the food, to the show itself, to every aspect, just to make it a really special night. And it's a lot of fun.
Now, we're going to get into the food in a moment. But when you say red carpet,
yeah,
I think most people think Academy Awards.
Yeah.
You know, the red carpet, and that's always an event to see everyone arriving, all the big stars on the red carpet. Explain, when you say red carpet at the SEMO Ball Awards, exactly what you're talking about.
Well, it's as you come into the event, we will have a red carpet with a background. We call it a step and repeat, where there's the SEMO Ball Awards logo. And really, the step and repeat is just a backdrop. It has the Mercy logo and the SEMO Ball Awards logo on it. And so folks will stand on the red carpet, the athletes and their families will stand on it, and then we'll have photographers there taking photos. And so they are really treated as the stars of the event. And so they'll walk the red carpet and go through that line and then make their way to other experiences prior to the show. And so it really is an entire red carpet experience. We'll have special lights set up and the whole nine yards. And you can see some of those photos from previous years. So if you go to SEMOBall.com/awards, you'll see some of those red carpet galleries from previous years and what some of the folks were dressed like and what would the experience look like. So it definitely is that red carpet experience. Maybe not black tie or something like that, but certainly it lives up to the red carpet experience.
The 11th annual.
It's hard to believe.
2014 was the first year, and you can go back if you want to, you know, look at the pictures from 2014, the original, the inaugural SEMO Ball Awards. You can, as you mentioned, SEMOBall.com/awards. So 11 years, man.
You know, each year we try to figure out how do we make the event a little bit better. You know, we look back at year one, and we had some ideas. We saw what some other people were doing throughout the country. We looked at top award shows like the ESPYs, like the NFL Honors, and try to figure out, okay, how do we make this the best that we can make it? But each year we've tried to kind of build on that of, okay, how long should the keynote speech be? What kind of food is optimal? So instead of doing a full sit-down dinner, we do heavy hors d'oeuvres. And we, instead of making it a sit-down at a round table, it's now the full-on show experience, like a theater style. And you know, one thing we learned pretty early on was the event is not necessarily about the speaker. The event is about recognizing the athletes. The speaker is the opportunity to inspire. And so when we look for keynote speakers, we look for folks that have a really good message. And then we prefer probably keynote speeches as opposed to Q&A, although we've done both. But we really want to figure out, you know, you got athletes there. So what is something that will resonate with them, will resonate with their parents, and is a good message. And so, I mean, those are all things that we take into consideration and just try to build on each year just to make it a great experience. I always think about the thought of a mom that came up to me, I believe it was last summer, and she said, I've been to every single one of the SEMO Ball Awards that you all produce because I've had a kid that's been in high school throughout this whole time. They've been a finalist in one of the various categories. She said, thank you for doing this. This has been an amazing way to cap off their high school career. And it's been very meaningful for us. And so we know for most of these athletes, high school is probably the end of the line when it comes to sports. They probably won't play college sports. They're gonna be a professional in some other element of life. But this is a way to celebrate that high school sports experience. It's certainly meaningful for them and for their families.
That is Lucas Preston, assistant publisher and general manager at the Southeast Missourian. July 12th, LaCroix Church will be the venue once again for the SEMO Ball Awards, and the ice sculpture. I always want to talk about the ice sculpture because we talk about all of the photog opportunities for all the athletes on the red carpet, but people want to get their photos taken at the ice sculpture.
Well, you know, that was something for years that was just a staple that we absolutely did. And last year was the first year we didn't do it.
No ice sculpture.
No ice sculpture last year. And so we've pulled back on the ice sculpture. We have other areas at the event that have become kind of the selfie experience. And so part of that is the red carpet. One thing we did last year was the revolving video. So you stand, you can put on like a hat or glasses or whatever, and it revolves around you. And there's kind of a video element to it.
That's very cool. That's a good substitute for the ice sculpture.
So we did that last year, and that was pretty well received. And a lot of people were sharing that on social media. And so that was something a little different last year that we did. I think we'll probably do that again this year. So, again, what something new, we try to figure out each year. How do we do something a little different? What is a way to engage people? You know, you don't want people just to get there and just stand around. You want to, make it fun. Last year we added a DJ. So, folks came in, did the red carpet, grabbed some food. Maybe they went over and did the revolving photo, video experience. They're listening to music from the DJ. They're checking out the live, red carpet radio show. I mean, there's just a lot of action going on prior to the event. And then once the show starts, everybody's in the auditorium for the show, and it's just full-on show. And you think all the awards that we have, I think, man, that's going to take forever to go through. It really doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
It goes by so quickly. Because there's so much video-based, so many video-based elements to it, we kind of know time-wise how long it's going to take. You got 10 finalists or 5 finalists. We run through pretty quickly on the video. And then our hosts for the evening, Mike and Rachel from SEMO ESPN, will pull out a card just like they would from the ESPYs or NFL Honors, and they announce the winner. And winner will come up on stage, will read something about the winner, they'll take a photo, and then they'll be escorted off stage, and then we'll start the next one. And it just goes like that so quickly. And so it's fun to see the photos of all these different athletes, to hear about their accomplishments and to go from there. And again, it's not all about the athletes that are on the field. I mean, you have your football and your volleyball and basketball, but it's the scholar athletes of the year. It's the comeback player of the year. It's the sportsmanship award. I always get chills thinking about some of these stories of the sportsmanship. I mean, we had one year an athlete that gave up his spot in the lineup to let a teammate hit who'd been hurt and missed opportunities to play most of the season. And it was in a championship game, and he went to his coach and said, "Coach, I want him to be able to hit for me." At that point in the game, it was kind of meaningless. They were up big. Really didn't matter. He said, "Let him take my spot. Give him an opportunity."
See, now I'm flashing back to Rudy. I want Rudy to take my spot. To take my spot.
It really was. It was one of those types of opportunities. You had another example last year of a young lady who was a guide runner for a young track runner who was blind. And so both of them were recognized as finalists at the SEMO Bowl for the Sportsmanship Award. So you get stories like that you're able to recognize some of the human elements of sport that are just kind of inspiring and to tell those stories. Then, of course, you have the scholar athletes that – many of these folks are doing multiple sports. They're getting a 4.0. They're doing other extracurricular activities. And so that's just amazing as well. And that is one of the awards that is treated differently from all the others. So for folks that don't know, the individual sport awards, anybody can nominate somebody to be a SEMO Ball Awards finalist.
And you can do that online,
right? You can
do
that online, okay. SEMOBall.com/awards. But our sports editors at the 5 newspapers in Southeast Missouri will get together, and they look through all the nominations. They bring people to the table, names to the table, and then they'll select the 5 or 10 finalists for a category. That's for the sport awards. That's for the big top awards, like coach of the year or comeback player of the year. But for the scholar athlete of the year, every school has the opportunity to put forward their male and female scholar athlete of the year. And those two individuals are automatically considered finalists for the Senior Bowl Awards. And then we'll select the male and female scholar athlete of the year from all those nominations that are submitted. But that is an opportunity where if there's a school that doesn't have a finalist in any other category, they'll have an opportunity to have a finalist for that award and to be recognized. So that's a really cool element.
So after the red carpet, everybody seemingly makes a beeline to the food.
Yeah.
And the heavy hors d'oeuvres, and everyone's walking around with a plate, and then
that's right.
they are, you know, obviously great opportunity to socialize there.
Sure.
And you see athletes that may compete on the hardwood or the gridiron or the ball field, and then they are socializing here. Now, let's get into the heavy hors d'oeuvres. We need details.
So it's some great food. We've always had great partners that have worked with us on food for the night, and you know, we call it heavy hors d'oeuvres. I call it dinner myself.
It's a meal.
It's a meal.
Yeah. I mean, you may refer to it as hors d'oeuvres, but it is a meal.
It's some great food. Now, we'll have some folks that maybe they're not from Cape or Jackson or Scott City, maybe, you know, basically within a 10-mile radius of Cape, where they're not in Cape regularly, and so maybe they come up and they want to do a dinner at a restaurant before they come to the show. And so some folks we know will do that, and just they make a day out of it. Great, that's wonderful. But the meal, the heavy hors d'oeuvres, though, great lineup. And you know, we'll have sliders, beef sliders, cheese display, fresh fruit, grilled chicken, and cheddar cheese quesadillas, Swedish meatballs, and more. And so there's a number of different
there's
options.
lemonade and punch and tea.
Yeah.
You
go down
the
line, there's tortilla chips, and then we'll usually have some sort of dessert in there as well, that matches with everything. So a lot of good options. And folks will not walk away hungry. They'll have plenty of options.
It's like
from.
Lambert's. If you leave hungry, it's your fault.
It's your fault. That's right.
All right. So the experience for the SEMO Ball Awards can be upgraded. If you would like to be treated like a VIP, you can be a VIP at the SEMO Ball Awards.
Absolutely. So tickets right now are on sale at SEMOBall.com/awards. And two things to know. One, the finalists announced today will get a free ticket to come to the event. So if you are a finalist, you get into the event for free. You'll get an invitation in the mail with information on how to reserve your free ticket. You'll also get access to two discounted tickets to bring folks. So if you want to bring a couple parents or grandparents or coach or something like that, you get promo codes to be able to get two discounted tickets. Those are general admission discounted tickets. And of course, you can buy other tickets beyond that that are at the normal rate. But we also have VIP tickets, and VIP tickets get you the best seats in the house. They also get access to a pre-event reception with our keynote speaker, who will be announcing soon. We should have that answer at the next selection show, if not before. So a lot of folks will do that. They'll enjoy the reception with the keynote speaker beforehand, but also you get the best seats at the event. The show itself the seating is first come, first serve, but for the VIP, you have reserved seats and a special section with great access to the stage and everything. So certainly some perks for the VIP tickets.
Still a couple of announcements to be made. That will be the keynote speaker and the Lifetime Achievement Award. So we are waiting on that. And I'm guessing by the time we have our next selection show, the spring selection show, we'll be able to announce those.
Absolutely. And again, that's something worth noting too. So, you know, you can nominate folks, whether that's athletes or even Lifetime Achievement Award, You can put those nominations in at semoball.com/awards. And we welcome nominations. The sports panel, again, that's made up of representatives from the Southeast Missourian, the Sykeson Standard Democrat, the Dexter Statesman, the Daily American Republic, and the Delta Dunklin Democrat in Kennett. They all get together and talk about all the different finalists and make a decision. But we welcome nominations, and that a nomination can help bring somebody's name to the surface that maybe wasn't thought about before, or maybe elevates them a little bit more and brings a statistic out that wasn't discussed. And so you're certainly welcome to nominate athletes that way. And that includes lifetime achievement. You know, we've had some great Lifetime Achievement Award recipients from Linus McFerrin to Terry Kitchen and many others along the way.
Jim Bidwell.
Yeah, Jim Bidwell. So some really good lifetime, which is, you know, you think about some of these folks that have just made a huge impact on high school athletics in Southeast Missouri, whether as a coach, an official, an athletic director, sometimes in more than one category. Sometimes they are a coach and an official, or coach and AD, and really making an impact in various ways. So yes, we certainly welcome those nominations.
We've got the red carpet pre-radio show for the SEMO Ball Awards, and SEMO ESPN, River Radio, we're proud to be sponsors, but you can't get this off the ground without sponsors, and some of them have been with you the whole 11 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Starting with Mercy. Mercy, you know, formerly Southeast Health, but now Mercy. Special thanks to them. Just a great organization that continues to partner with us. And special thanks to them as our presenting sponsor for the SEMO Ball Awards. The Bank of Missouri, official bank sponsor of the SEMO Ball Awards. You know, their footprint, much like Mercy, you know, mimics what the SEMO Ball Awards footprint is across Southeast Missouri. And so special thanks to the Bank of Missouri. Obviously, SEMO ESPN, St. Louis Cardinals, Russ Media, your local daily newspaper, all playing key roles. And then we have some other sports sponsors that are sponsoring individual sports. If you're part of an organization that would like to be part of this and support what's going on, we encourage you to reach out to us. You can send me an email. And my email's online. It's lpresson@scmissourian.com. We're happy to talk with you. It's a great way to support not only high school athletics, but to recognize athletes that are doing good things both on the field and off the field, and in a unique way. Obviously, there's a marketing element of getting your brand out there, but you're supporting a community aspect that is throughout our schools across Southeast Missouri, from Perryville down to the Boot Heel, Arkansas line, over to Van Buren. I mean, this is 56 schools across Southeast Missouri, and really just a neat way to recognize the best of the best on the field, in the classroom, and through good sportsmanship. And just one of the really fun things we get to do each year.
Lucas Presson, assistant publisher and general manager of the Southeast Missourian. What else do we need to know? Again, it's cmobile.com/awards. You would like to nominate somebody, you like to check on tickets, go back and look at the photo libraries for the previous SEMO Ball Awards. And this will be number 11, started in 2014. Before we bring in Clay Harrell and get to the nominees, what else do we need to know?
Well, again, it's a great event. We're looking forward to it. If you haven't been before, you're in for a treat. We hope you secure your tickets early. If you're named a finalist today, go ahead and get your ticket secured. RSVP, let us know if you're a finalist that you're going to be there. Get your two discounted tickets secured. Again, you can get additional beyond that, but it helps us in planning purposes knowing who's going to be there and going from there. But we're excited about the event. It's a ton of fun. You're going to really enjoy it. And we're excited to recognize some of the best of the best throughout Southeast Missouri. We know there's going to be some folks today that don't make this list of winter sports finalists. And they're extremely talented, but it really just goes to show you, you know, kind of how talented this list is and, how successful they've been, on the field and what they're doing. So we're excited to announce the winter finalists. We'll have more finalists coming up with the spring sports and the top awards and, good things coming. We're looking forward to July 12th.
July 12th, which is a Friday, by the way. It's a Friday. LaCroix Church, doors open at 5:30. The show starts at 7. I think the Red Carpet Radio show starts at 6. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe doors open at 5:30. And so we're looking forward to that. So get there early for the red carpet. Enjoy the whole red carpet experience.
It's
worth,
really cool.
It's worth getting there for early and enjoying that. Enjoy the whole experience from beginning to end. It's a lot of fun.
cmobile.com/awards. Lucas, always great to catch up. Thanks so much. And, we'll talk to you when the spring finalists and nominees are announced. We were doing an ESPN Plus game just the other day at Capitol Field, and I saw you, at the ballpark.
Yeah. I try to get to the ballpark regularly. Love baseball for sure.
Yeah, you love the way the Cardinals are playing, right?
We are doing so well until you brought that one up.
All right. Jess and I will get into that here in just a few minutes. Thanks so much, Lucas.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it.
Lucas Presson, assistant publisher, general manager of the Southeast Missouri. And now let's bring in Clay Harrell from cmobile.com. We've got the nominees. How much of a painstaking process is this? We've heard about the five entities, the Southeast Missourian, Dexter Statesman, Delta Dunklin Democrat, Daily American Republic, Standard Democrat, and everybody, is it Zoom calls? Are you guys in a room? There is a lot that goes into this. Nobody's pencil whipping anything.
It was a big Zoom call, at least for this one, and it's not like, it's not easy at all. There are so many talented athletes, and a lot. And really, what makes the Zoom calls take so long is you'll get to a point where it's like two people are going to start debating back and forth on a candidate, and then it's like you have to give it the time of day because each of them are making a point. Like it's so difficult, and obviously, you know, from my experience of doing this, the last, I guess this will be my third one. Like it feels like for me, it's like the two basketball ones. I feel like are always the most contentious because there's just so many talented players in this area, but. Yeah, this one for the winter sports was certainly an interesting one.
All right, let's start with that sport that you just referenced, basketball. Let's start with the boys.
To start from Charleston, we got Katerion Owens. From Sykeston, Dontrez Williams. From Sykeston, P.J. Farmer. From New Madrid County Central, Jadis Jones. From New Madrid County Central, B.J. Williamson. From Cape Central, Markwell Murray. From Jackson, Cole Deck. From Kelly, Ross Peters. From Malden, Comarius Farmer, and from Puxico, Landon Burchard.
That had to be a tough list to narrow down.
Yeah, I mean, you go through this list, and it's like you got so many different players. Sykeston having the year they had. Cape Central had a pretty good year. Jackson had a good year. And then you go to, like, your small schools. Kelly had a good year. You go, Ross Peters is their lone representative. They probably could add two or three. It's like you just sit there, and you just kind of look at each other and be like, okay, one's got to go, and... You know, you could probably make this list 20 or 30 if you wanted
Nobody had a better year than New Madrid County.
Nobody had a better year than the Eagles and Jadis Jones and B.J. Williamson.
So those two are on the list. And now the girls' basketball nominees.
Starting off, we have from Donovan, Kinsey Redis. From Kennett, Elise Edwards. From Sykeston, Landry Hammontree. From Portageville, Taryn Irby. From Notre Dame, Kate Rubel. From Delta, Addison Nichols. From Notre Dame, Nevaeh Lucius. From Delta, Presley Holwig. From Neelyville, Parker Ernst, and from Saxony Lutheran, Evie Caruso.
Another, I'm sure, tough list to narrow down to 10.
I can't stress enough, like, seriously, like, there's so many talented players, and again, it's like, this was another list for sure, where it's like, okay, there's 13, 14, 15 that are like, you are like, they're great, and you can only have 10, so, yeah, I mean, this is a solid 10. Obviously, Delta had a really great year making it to the state tournament. Kennett with Elise Edwards, who had a really big year. I got to see Landry Hammontree play a couple times this year. It feels like she's always good to score 25, 30 points a game. So just so many talented players in this area.
So those are the basketball nominees, and most of the categories have 10 finalists. Some of the smaller athletic teams or events only have five, and that's the case with girls wrestling this year, relatively new nominee category.
Yeah, and I think the numbers were down a bit for girls wrestling, but first off, we got from Notre Dame, Lily Alvin, from Sykeston, Ellie Douglas, from Sykeston, Kamari Wilkins, from Poplar Bluff, Zoe Freeman, and from Jackson, Kaylee Millam.
All right, five girls wrestling finalists, boys wrestling, more participation, and so you've got 10 nominees for the boys.
Starting off, we have from New Madrid County Central, Connor Henderson. From New Madrid County Central, Kayla Moore. From Jackson, Bryson Wessel. From Jackson, Landon Vasali. From Jackson, Camden Gearhart. From Poplar Bluff, Logan Height. From Poplar Bluff, Jack Ernest. From Cape Central, Devarius Nunley. From Notre Dame, Charlie West, and from Sykeston, Jax Lancaster.
Wrestling is a very obviously popular sport in Southeast Missouri. I think you talked with Caleb Corbin after the Red Hawks baseball game. Yes, who wrote the story?
Tony did.
Okay, it was Tony Capobianco. He did talk a little bit with Caleb Corbin. You have covered some SEMO baseball. He's a state champion wrestler in Iowa. They take wrestling serious in the state of Iowa.
So you're telling me if something ever goes wrong, like maybe a benches clearing brawl with SEMO baseball, that Caleb Corbin's the guy to watch out for.
He may be only 5 foot eight, but I'm hanging out with Corbin.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Now let's get in the pool. Girls swimming.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got Cape Central had a crazy year, winning the team state championship. Sydney Ringwald won two state championships. Tommy Ann Marriott won a state championship. So this is another list that there's so many good names, but we had five here. And starting off from Jackson, we have Ava Walters. From Jackson, Lindley LaValle. From Cape Central, Tommy Ann Marriott. From Cape Central, Sydney Ringwald. And from Cape Central, Emily Dixon.
Man, we talk about basketball being competitive. You just named the state championships. How competitive is this category going to be?
I mean, absolutely. And again, it's like that's one where the numbers are lower, and boys and girls swimming are only five finalists each. And so again, it's like, okay, well, you gotta somebody has to go. And again, I mean, it was tough decision, and we do the best we can to try, like Lucas said, to get the best of the best. And I heard Lucas say earlier, like, there's going to be somebody that didn't make this list that, you know, had a very good case to make the list. And that just, I think, speaks though to how strong athletics are, and not just in basketball or swimming or wrestling, but in the fall sports, the winter sports, the spring sports. Like, they're, I mean, the athletics are at an all-time high, and I think just in general it's a great time to be a fan of sports in this area.
All right, so we heard about the athletes and some of the outfits that we're going to see, and a lot of people dress up for this event. You can bet Lucas Presson will be dressed up for the event. We need to know, what is Clay Harrell thinking about the wardrobe for July 12th?
I gotta dive into the wardrobe. I gotta expand my like dress shirt collection and the dress pants collection, I think. But I might have to. This is like my third one, so I might have to kind of to go a little bit crazier for this.
Do you
one,
take tips from your girlfriend?
Absolutely.
The smart man says yes to that question.
I mean, I'm just more of like, if you see me like most days, it'll be like I'm wearing like a crew neck or a sweatpants, but something like that, I'll be like, does this look dumb, or like what do you think? I'm, you know, I try to use my resources, I guess would be the best way to put it.
You're going
to
step up your game for July 12th.
July 12th. That might be the best that you see me dressed all year. So come out to the SEMO Ball Awards, VIP ticket. It's worth it.
All right. You guys are doing a lot of coverage with the five entities, as we mentioned, and the 56 high schools that are covered in the footprint of the Southeast Missourian and SEMO Ball. What are you covering on a day-to-day basis? And we're getting ready for district tournament baseball.
We are not too far away from that. We got SEMO Conference Baseball starts Friday. It's Friday, Saturday, then Monday. But the first couple days here, today and tomorrow, I'm working on getting some boys' golf coverage, talking to some different coaches and teams, and just kind of getting their coverage that they deserve, because there's been some really talented players in this area. And then, like I said, SEMO Conference Baseball this weekend. SEMO softball and SEMO baseball are home this weekend. I think there's some track meets this weekend. So Tony and I are going to be running around like chickens with our head cut off, I think, this weekend. But, you know, this is what we signed up for, and we love it. So it's fun.
All right. It is the SEMO Ball Awards July 12th. It is LaCroix Church. Doors open at 5:30. The show itself starts at 7. The heavy hors d'oeuvres will be available right when the doors open at 5:30. And again, if you want more information, if you'd like to get tickets, would you like to nominate somebody? Would you like to look at the photo libraries for the previous 10 SEMO Ball Awards? It's SEMOBall.com/awards. Did we miss anything, Clay?
I don't think so. Eric, I got to tell you, though, I always look forward to coming on talking with you because growing up, I always listened to K103, and you were always doing the sports, like in the morning when I'd go to school. So this is pretty cool. I always look forward to this.
No, you made me feel old, but yeah.
See, I didn't want to make you feel old, but I will always remember driving to school and you would do like the weekly or the morning sports. And so that, it's pretty cool now that I get to sit here and talk with you about this.
And you get to sit behind that microphone on a weekly basis. Tell us a little bit more about your and Rusty's show.
I know Rusty's listening, so hello, Rusty. The SEMO Scramble, every Saturday from 9 to 10, and last weekend, we did it remote out at Notre Dame. It was a quick show, but we talked to Mark Redbird, so go check that out on the podcast page on SEMO ESPN. And, we have a good time. So we're working this weekend to get some NFL draft coverage and guests, so we'll see what we can pull off.
Do you go back to the podcast page and listen to your show ever?
I can't. I can't listen to my own voice. I don't know how you feel about it. I just cannot listen
Everybody
to my own voice.
Everybody hates their voice.
Yeah.
But just a little tip. For anybody who is working in radio, that's how you get better.
Absolutely.
If you're doing play-by-play, you have to listen back. That's how you get better. Just throwing it out there for
you. No, I 100% agree. There's something about my voice, though, on the radio that when I hear it, like, we'll sit in here and, like, the ads will play, and I'll be like, oh, Rusty, you got to turn that off or something, because I don't know. I'm sure you're probably used to hearing your own voice, though, at this point.
Used to hearing it. I mean, you've got your headset on when you're broadcasting a game, and that's all you hear
exactly.
Is your stupid voice. I think everybody cringes when they hear their voice, but I would listen to some of the tapes when I first started years ago. I thought, how did they even let me on the air? It's awful. It's terrible. But no, it's a fun show, SEMO Scramble, and you guys really delve in. Obviously, you this time of year, you're covering the Cardinals. But very high school heavy.
Yeah, absolutely. And Rusty does a lot of like the legwork with getting guests on, and whether it's getting a high school coach or an athlete or somebody that covers the Cardinals. I don't know how Rusty does it, but he pulls off some pretty cool guests that we get to talk to. So I enjoy my Saturdays. I look forward to that and getting to come in here and hang out and talk sports. It's pretty awesome.
SEMO Scramble, 9 a.m. every Saturday here on SEMO ESPN. All right, July 12th will be here before you know it. I know you are busy with all the spring sports. Thanks so much for cutting out a little chunk of time for us, and we'll talk to you down the line, Clay. Thanks.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you to Clay Harrell. Thanks to Lucas Presson, Jamie Phillips, always here during the video component on the Facebook Live for SEMO Ball. Jess Bolin going to rejoin us here on the Sports Huddle when we come back. What happened at Busch Stadium last night? Yikes. And what did Ollie Marmol say about Steven Matz?
Come on.
That's straight ahead, the Sports Huddle on SEMO ESPN. It's the Sports Huddle, SEMO ESPN, 1220 AM, 93.5 FM. You can always find us online, SEMOESPN.com, and we've got a free app. You can listen live that way. Go to your app store, search for SEMO ESPN, free download. The Missouri Sports Hall of Famer Jess Bolin is at the compound this morning. We had SEMO Ball representatives talking about the July 12th awards. And so Jess joins us remotely this morning. What's going on this morning, Jess?
Nothing, just fiddling around with my car and trying to clean it up on the inside a little bit. You know, the wear and tear of you getting drinks and getting food and everything, and then it winds up halfway between your transmission case and your parking brake and stuff like that, you know. So you got to kind of clean it out once in a while, and that's been once in a while today. Boy, I got your thing on speakerphone. Does that bother your reception or anything?
It does not.
All right.
So it was, is it fair to say it was an absolute beatdown last night at Busch Stadium, 14-1? The Cardinals actually led that game 1-0. What were your thoughts as you were slogging through that, and did you even make it to the finish? I had to turn it off.
I speed watched it. You know what that means? Just put your remote on second or third speed, and then when you see something, you stop, you know, and see the replay. I saw a couple of them, and I didn't need to stop it anymore. that was a beatdown. I mean, you know, the cards. Here's the thing, that happens to every team. So I shove that aside. It's unfortunate it happens after you have a big win. But what they got to do, Eric, to realize or say that, hey, we're out of that funk we were in, is come out today, play a good baseball game, and beat a good pitcher. That if they could come out and do that, well, then you could still feel good about the series. You take the series. You'd probably, I don't know who they play next, but I think it's on the road. You'd feel good about, you know, going into that. But now if they go out today and get shut completely down like they did last night, well, then they haven't done anything. They just got lucky in one game, a couple mistakes by a pitcher, and you won a game. You're still on the slide if they don't win today. And I think it's very, very important. The third game of this series today, and it's an afternoon game, and I hope Contreras can play, because last night Gorman got a couple more hits, and Contreras hit the home run. So those are a couple guys that if Gorman continues to put the bat on the ball, that's all he's got to do is put the bat on the ball. You saw the double he got last night in left center. Kid's got power, ball just off his bat, but, you know, when you strike out, you're not giving yourself a chance. And so if he could keep swinging pretty decent, I thought Goldschmidt looked horrible last night. Three strikeouts, just swinging and missing. It makes me wonder when a guy swings and misses as much as he does, what's going on, you know? Could it be vision?
First and second, nobody out, and he strikes out on a 91-mile-an-hour fastball center cut.
Yeah. And that gets alarming after a while. You know, every once in a while you say, well, the pitch was moving good, he's sinking. You know, give it a little credit to the pitcher, but then all at once when you do it over and over and over, and you're supposed to be a premier hitter, which he is, then you start looking for other reasons. And Matt's last night just irritated the heck out of me. Hailing along good, looking good, and all at once here comes the base on balls. Two of them in that inning. He give up a three-run homer. I tell you what, and then Marmol saying he looked good last night. He's pretty good, pretty satisfied with his appearance. Come on. He had two or three good innings, and then a starting pitcher can't get through the fourth. I would probably just say, well, it was a tough night for him, and he understands he made a few bad pitches. But do it that way, but don't say, you know, I'm okay with it. I sit there and listen to the interview, and I go, wait, what are you looking at? But anyway, your opinion, please.
Well, for anybody that did not hear Oliver Marmol after the game, and nobody expects him to throw Steven Matz under the bus. That's not what we're saying. Here is Ollie Marmol at his post-game presser last night.
No different than some of the other swings he's taken. Game, the score being lopsided, there's no reason to send him back out there.
Was there a hand you felt
though? Same catching hand that certain pitches, it just kind of shocks his hand and takes a minute for him to get the feeling back. Took a swing, same thing. But no different than yesterday or the day before.
Yeah. What'd you see from Steven?
I actually thought it was one of his better outings, to be quite honest with you. The line doesn't show that, but from a pitch standpoint, Vila was there, walking the nine hole in that inning that kind of led to some runs, wasn't ideal, but Walker took a good swing off of him for the most part. I thought he actually did a pretty decent job. Didn't go our way.
Jess, it was his best outing. Cardinal fans are watching the same game as Oliver Marmol. I think stuff like that frustrates Cardinal fans.
I think that makes your Cardinal fans feel like your manager is accepting what's going on. You know, I don't believe in throwing chairs, and I never did yell at a player, and I never threw one under the bus to the sports writers. That's just, you just don't do that. But by the same token, you can be a little bit honest and say, you know, he had a tough night, and he'll tell you that. That's not one of his better nights, and he'd like to get through the fifth inning. If a starting pitcher doesn't get through up to the sixth, well, it's not a good night, really. And to give up seven runs and you say is pretty good outing, I think it really throws questions into it's okay to defend your players, but don't try to make me believe I didn't see what I just saw with my own eyes. I mean, come on, it's did anybody ever forget that the truth should matter? I don't know.
First time since 2007 that two Cardinal pitchers gave up seven runs in the same game. Jess, what has happened to Zach Thompson? His velo's down. There is literally no snap on his breaking stuff. It just rolls up there. Boy, I mean, do you see a stint at Memphis coming up here for Zach Thompson?
Oh, no question, yeah. He probably earned his ticket last night to go to Memphis. I tell you what my theory is, some of the things that's bothering me is lack of work. A pitcher needs to get out there every third, fourth day. Now, I know you can throw a bullpen, but his activity in games is really not very much. And a young pitcher like that can really go downhill quick if you don't put him on the mound. That's why you send him to Memphis, to get on the mound and work and get those innings in. But I think that's one of his big problems. Now, as far as the velo, I think lack of activity can cause that. You know, your arms lose strength. I don't know, but he's earned his way back down to Memphis. There's no question. I don't think about that. He's going to be one of them that goes. I mean, he may not go until Carlson and Edmund are ready to come back, maybe Middleton. But he's going to go.
You referenced Nolan Gorman with two more hits and obviously hit the walk-off home run two nights ago. What was he doing trying to steal third base, Jess? Oh. What was that?
How long have you and I been working together? 20 years at least? I bet money you kind of thought of me when that happened. Because I just thought, well, I just got up, went and got me something to drink. I thought, well, if two outs and you're going to try to steal third, and you're not a real base stealer, you don't think of him as being a base stealer on the Cardinals, and you make the third out, and at the time the score was 1-0, you're leading, does he think he can just change the game since he got a home run and make it everything go his way? And that was so stupid. I thought, well, you know, he surely didn't get a signal to come to third. That's probably on his own. But on that issue, I'd be waiting on him at the top step of the dugout when he got back, because that's stupid baseball as far as I'm concerned.
All right, Wilson Contreras, left hand injury. Oliver Marmol said he should be fine to at least DH on Wednesday. This all stems back left hand to when he got hit by a pitch, missed some time, was doing some DHing, and then got back behind the plate. That's his catching hand. But, you know, this is the second time that they've been concerned about that left hand. We'll see if he indeed is in the lineup, because they play in 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Well, if it were my ball club, and it's not, but if it were, he wouldn't catch for a while. I'd give him a chance to DH, because you need his bat in there terribly bad. But I wouldn't catch him. I'd give him maybe a whole week away, because you've got Herrera can catch, and then you got the third catcher up there that you just brought up. I would relieve him of that duty for at least probably a week, see what happens with it, and see if it gets stronger and he gets a little over. When you're catching, you said you caught in your young career. I did for 2 years. When you get an injury or, say, a hard bruise or something bothering you behind the plate, it's really hard to get over that if you continue to catch, that continual pounding of that hand. I don't know if they'll get over it all year, but maybe it could certainly get better if lack of activity back then. Because those guys throw hard, and some guys throw a heavy ball, and you know what I mean by that. It just feels like you're catching a steel ball, not a baseball. And when it hits, it kind of drives through your hands. I don't know who on the Cardinals does that. If I had to guess, it'd probably be a guy like Michaelis, you know, or maybe Kyle Gibson. Somebody like that. But anyway, he needs to get out from behind the plate, I think, because you don't want to lose him for the whole year. And believe me, those hand injuries are one of the toughest things in baseball to play when you got them or get over them trying to play. So it's I feel for him. I mean, he still gets up there and takes a real good swing and everything. So if it's not bothering him to swing, but I think it actually said it bothered him last night when he hit the ball, his hand would feel the shock, you know, in his injured hand. And so when that happens, you usually let go of the bat. And being his left hand, actually, people think your right hand is the ball hand that does most on the bat. It's not. It's your bottom hand, which is his left hand on a bat. That pulls that bat through the zone. And so there's a lot of pressure on that hand, more on that than the right hand. So they can do what they want to do. They know more about it than I do, but if it were my team, and as valuable player as he is, I would want him to have a chance to get well. And if he can DH, that's great. But I'd get him out of there.
Jordan Montgomery makes his return to St. Louis today. He will start for the Diamondbacks against Kyle Gibson. And, boy, Jordan Montgomery, when asked just yesterday about, because obviously he's getting ready to pitch, St. Louis media wanted to talk to him. When asked if the Cardinals pursued him in the offseason, he basically sidestepped the question, next question type scenario. So he didn't want to talk about it. I'm sure there will be a little extra motivation for that. Doesn't mean he's going to go out and dominate, but I'm sure there's a little extra motivation today for Jordan Montgomery pitching against his former team.
Well, no doubt. There will be, and he's got friends on the Cardinals team that's going to be in the lineup against him. That's always that individual rivalry, you know, that bragging rights type stuff. I don't know if the Cards pursued him or not. If they didn't, the shame on them. Whether he does anything good today, I don't know. Is this his first start?
I believe it is.
Well, they probably on a pitch count, 60 pitches maybe or something like that. So Gibson needs to keep the Cardinals close. Because the bullpen for Diamondbacks is not that great.
Second start, he threw six innings, allowed one run in his first start, three Ks, no walks. So it's start number two for Montgomery.
Yeah, if he's right, there's no reason to believe that the Cards will knock him around if the Cardinals are hitting well. He's a good pitcher, period. Saw what he did in the playoffs. But here's my issue. If I'm manager of the Cardinals, I'm going to beat you today or get you out of the game or stay with you till you get out of the game. I'm not going to lose this game today. I mean, you've got to take a hair-on-fire attitude a little bit with the Cardinals right now. And I don't care how good he is. I don't care what his record is, who he strikes out, or how many. I don't care. You're going to get beat today, or you're going to get knocked out, or you're going to have a no decision, but we have to win this game. And the Cardinals need to play like that, I think. A little bit of urgency, and maybe they are, and we just can't see it. But if they can win this game today, no matter how they win it, maybe you get that off your mind about how terrible you are at the plate. You know, kind of rub it away. You took a series. You got a dramatic home run to win a game. You win the third game after getting pounded last night. You'd leave St. Louis to go on your road trip with a good attitude. If you go out there today and you get pounded, what I'm talking about getting pounded would be 8-3. Any give up 7-8 runs, you're getting pounded, okay? And the Cards can't afford to do that. Their pitching's better than that. Their hitting needs to get them a lead, not a single run, 2 or 3 run lead. Let them pitch like that once. They haven't had that opportunity very much this year. To me, this is a game I'm going to go out there, throw the stink at you if I have to, but I'm going to win this game, period.
I'm a subscriber to The Athletic. I have been for a long time. They have a terrific bullpen of writers. Katie Wu, who covers the Cardinals for The Athletic, Jess, has just reported in the last couple of minutes, Jordan Walker has been optioned to AAA Memphis. More info on that. We don't see a corresponding move. But Jordan Walker sent to AAA. Your thoughts?
I think you and I talked about that on the show you know, who are you going to send down? And who, you know, would you get a wake-up call to Gorman? And we both mentioned Jordan Walker. And you know, Jordan Walker is going to be a star in the big league, I believe. And last year he had such a good year, 276, I think 14 homers. He really had a good year. But it's not carrying over to his sophomore year, which happens a lot to athletes. I think it's a good thing for Jordan Walker to go down for his own career. Get your head together, get your, you know, where there's no pressure on you. I think you could carry him and you could keep him in the big leagues right now if the Cards were, say, 16 and 14 even, you know, had a decent record where they're right within striking distance, although they still are. It's so young. But I think it's a good thing for the Cardinals to get somebody else up there, and I think it's a good thing for Jordan Walker. I think it's a good thing for Thompson. I think he'll go down. It's a good thing. How many times have you seen a guy go down, even after he's had a real taste of the big leagues, and all at once when he comes back, he's the player you thought he could be. And I think that's what you're going to see with Walker.
So Victor Scott down there getting a taste of AAA. Now Jordan Walker, Andre Pallante. You would surmise that Zach Thompson would also get a stint in the minor league. So this is going to open up playing time for Alec Burleson, right?
I hope so. You know, Memphis is going to have a pretty good team for long. But, yeah, Alec Burleson is a guy that I think the Cardinals need in there somewhere in DH. Or I know you're giving up defense to put him out in left field. But, you know, a lot of big league clubs have done that in the past, give up a little defense for some offense. And right now, the Cards need offense either where they can get it. And he's a tough out even against a left-handed pitcher, just like I think Newt Barr is a tough out against left-handed pitchers. Donovan can still hold his own against lefties. So they're going to have him in there as far as I'm concerned. First time you get an opportunity, whether it's Dylan Carlson coming back or Tommy Edman coming back, then Siani's got to be out of that lineup because I know he's a good defender. And he's a guy that, if you want to keep him, he can be a good seventh-inning replacement for Burleson or whatever. I believe that. But Carlson or Edman, either one, would go into center field for me, whichever one came back first.
All right, Jess, an abbreviated show today. Say hello to the lovely and talented Dawn Sean. And she's got a day off today. She enjoyed going to the Red Hawk baseball game last night. And, well, actually, it started at 3:30 in the afternoon. So the Red Hawks were winners over SIU Carbondale. You are on the road today. Does that mean you've got some Wednesday wisdom for us?
Yeah, Dawn probably sat right beside of you, didn't she, in the booth? Took my seat?
She was sitting in your chair.
Okay, couldn't be a better person doing that than her. I want to say hi to my girls down in Texas and Columbia, as always, and my boys here in town, Jess and Tom, and my little sister, Neva, who we watched a million movies together since COVID hit. COVID started us on the movies. Now we watch them pretty well every night. But I'll leave you with this one tonight, or today. Accept what is, let go of what was, and have faith in what will be. I said that one quite a bit in COVID year when we were locked down and people were suffering. And I really believe that's a good one. Now, I can't tell you who wrote it. I don't remember if I wrote it or who wrote it, but I like that philosophy.
Fantastic. And don't forget, and ESPN will not let you, the NFL draft starts tomorrow night in Detroit, 8 p.m. Eastern, obviously 7 o'clock our time. You've got round one Thursday, tomorrow, Friday rounds 2 and 3, and then Saturday rounds 4 through 7, so there'll be plenty of draft talk, NBA playoffs in full swing, and then, of course, baseball. Cardinals 12-15 today, and again, they have sent Jordan Walker down to AAA Memphis. Jess, we will reconvene in studio tomorrow if that works for your schedule.
Sounds great.
That's a Hall of Famer. We will talk to him tomorrow. Stay tuned. We've got Greeny coming up on ESPN Radio. Plenty of NBA playoff talk. The Minnesota Timberwolves on a 2-0 run here over the Phoenix Suns. And, of course, NFL draft talk. Hope you enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.